Good morning. This is Reverend Bob McLavey of the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. We want to welcome all who are listening in this morning as we have a time of scripture, a message out of the Gospel of John, and then we have a new recording by Alan Vest of that favorite old hymn, He Leadeth Me. So we hope that all of you will enjoy this morning's time with the Lord. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for gathering us in your presence. We pray that you will touch our hearts with your Spirit and that we will indeed feel your presence in our lives. And Lord, we pray this morning that you will speak to us through your word. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Following Jesus, and it comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. So hear the word of the Lord. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, Look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, What do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, Where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as we are now in a new year, it is truly my prayer that we will feel a renewed desire for discipleship. And today, we see John's version of being called to follow Jesus. Here's what's so noteworthy about what happens with Jesus that day that we read about in the Gospel of John. As these two men follow him at a distance, Jesus does turn around, and he confronts them. He says, What do you want? What are you after? I see you following me. What are you hoping to find? What do you think I can do for you? And imagine what it would have been like to have Jesus confront you with that question. In fact, let's not rush past Jesus' question too quickly. Instead, let me turn this question towards you and me and all of us this morning. Since we're all gathered to hear this message out of the Gospel of John, it's safe for me to assume that all of us, to some extent, are following after Jesus. Some of you are probably following Jesus closely, right behind him, or even walking side by side with him. Others of you perhaps are following at a safe distance, not wanting for your own reasons to get too close. You have heard that he can be trusted, but you'd like to see for yourselves. Either way, most of us this morning who are listening are following Jesus. So what if Jesus stopped in his tracks this morning, turned around to face you, and asked you point blank, "What are you looking for? I see that you are following me. Well, what do you want? What are you after? What do you think I can do for you? What do you want me to give you? Where do you think I am leading you?" What would you say? How would you respond? Are you hoping Jesus will fix your life? Are you looking for security, belonging, peace, forgiveness, relief? Are you just curious? What do you say to Jesus when he turns and asks you, "Why are you following me? What is it that you are looking for?" What did the two men in the story say? Well, they respond to Jesus' question with a question of their own. Jesus asks them, "What are you looking for?" And they ask him, "Teacher, where are you staying?" It's a question, but it also gives us some answers. For one, the fact that they call Jesus teacher tells us that they believe Jesus may have something to teach them. So at the very least, they are looking for answers. And furthermore, in asking Jesus where he is staying, I think they are hinting that they want to go to where he is staying. In other words, they don't just want to follow him from a distance down the road or even chat with him in passing on the road. They are hoping, really, for the chance to spend some quality time with him. Having heard so much about him, they are now hoping to see for themselves. They want to see his character, to hear what he has to say. They want to talk through their questions, their problems, their longings. They want to spend time with him. And so when they ask where Jesus is staying, they are actually hoping for an invitation. Well, Jesus doesn't let them down. He says simply, "Come and see. You want to know where I am staying? Come along and see for yourself." Now, this is classic Jesus. Always with Jesus, it's come and see. Always with Jesus, the invitation is extended, a gracious and wide open invitation. And what's more, the invitation always comes with a promise. "Seek and you will find," Jesus says. "Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask and you will receive. Come to me if you are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. If you are thirsty, come to me and drink, and I will make living streams flow from your soul. Let the little children come to me, and I will welcome them. Come to the feast, and you will see that I have prepared a place for you at the table. Always, always with Jesus, it's come and see. And which actually means that the biggest barrier keeping people from Christ and from the abundant and eternal life he died to give us is plain and simple. It's our own unwillingness to take Jesus up on his invitation to come and see. Here is the promise that God makes to us over and over again. God promises us, if you seek after me, if you truly seek after me, you will find me. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. In James 4, verse 8, we read, come near to God, and he will come near to you. In Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus famously says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Now, to be fair, Jesus doesn't ever promise us when or how or where. What he does promise is that if we earnestly seek after him with open hearts and minds, and with a willingness to receive whatever it is we find, that we will, in his time, and in his fashion, and the place of his choosing, we will find him. This is true in the grand sense of salvation. In other words, Christ extends salvation and eternal life to everybody in the world so that the only people who do not receive these gifts from Christ are those who continuously refuse to ever seek after him. They refuse to come and see. And this is also true in the day-to-day sense of God's guidance. In other words, when we seek God's leading and help in the things that we face in this life, our problems, our challenges, our struggles, our pain, if we seek after Christ with humble and open hearts, we will be provided with what we need. That is God's promise. I really believe that whether or not you are walking with Jesus closely or following him at a distance, either way, I believe he turns to you today and asks you, what are you looking for? In asking, I believe his hope is that you will answer him the way these two men answered him in our passage this morning. Jesus, where are you staying? I want to know because I want to go there with you. I want to spend time with you. I've heard you have what it is that I've been looking for all my life, and I'd like to see for myself. If that is the answer you give to Jesus when he asks you what you are looking for, I believe Jesus will then say to you, come and see. Now, while we don't know exactly how the time was spent with these two men in our passage, we do know that for at least one of them, it changed everything. Andrew was one of the two. And John's account here makes clear that Andrew's time with Jesus was transformational. So much so that the first chance he gets, Andrew races to tell his brother, Simon. Simon, he says, we have found the Messiah. Come and see, Simon. We have found the Christ. Now, don't miss it. A day earlier, Andrew called Jesus teacher. But now, Having spent time with Jesus, Andrew knows exactly who Jesus is. Now he refers to Jesus as the Messiah. Could Andrew have understood all that? Could he have understood the full realm of what the term Messiah means? No, probably not. But nevertheless, God's promise was beginning to be worked in his own life. He had gone seeking with all his heart, and now he was finding. And already it was changing everything for him. And we're told that when Simon came face to face with Jesus, Jesus looked carefully at Simon. The word in the original language here suggests that Jesus gazed intently at Simon. Jesus, in other words, wasn't simply studying his face. Jesus was studying his heart. And he was not studying Simon's heart to see what sort of man he was. He was, I believe, studying to see what sort of man he could become. And in a moment, that changed Simon's life forever. Jesus said to him, essentially, "I know people have known you as a fisherman. People call you Simon. But from now on, you will be known as Peter." And so, from that day forward, Simon became Peter, a name which literally means rock. It's a name, frankly, that must have sounded strange to people who knew Simon back then. For a rock suggests stability and faithfulness, cool-headedness and self-discipline. But Simon Peter, as you know, was none of those things initially. He was impulsive and unstable, known for putting his foot in his mouth. And sometimes he acted without thinking. Was Jesus really that poor of a judge of character? No, of course not. He knew Simon's heart. He knew what Peter would become. Legend has it that the great sculptor Michelangelo believed that when he sculpted, he was merely releasing the masterpiece which was trapped inside each shapeless piece of marble. Jesus, looking with divine eyes, saw within Simon Peter the God-given potential which was trapped inside this fisherman. He saw the courage trapped inside, the loyalty hiding behind the one who would deny knowing Jesus. Jesus saw the image of God tarnished by the stain of sin. Again, Jesus did not name Peter for what he was. Jesus named Peter for what, by the grace of God, he could become. And remarkably, Jesus does the same for each of us. If we seek after him, we will find him. And when we find Christ, we also find, to our surprise, ourselves. For in Christ, we discover who God made us to be. And that is so important. You see, everything changes in life when we go seeking after Jesus. Among other things, we discover that Jesus has already come seeking after us. We discover that Jesus isn't some great distance away. He's not way up in heaven beyond some chasm of time and space that we can never cross. He isn't some proverbial guru sitting on top of the mountain that we have to climb to reach. No, none of that is true. Jesus is coming after us. He's seeking after us. And he's hoping that we will turn and follow him. Jesus has come near, all the way from heaven to earth. The divine word has become flesh, full of grace and full of truth. And so this morning, Jesus has come to extend this invitation to all who want to know where he is staying. He says, come and see. Come and see. What a wonderful invitation for us to ponder this morning as we seek after Jesus. He turns and says, come and see. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, we have the joy of hearing Alan Vest sing for us that beautiful old hymn, He Leadeth Me, by Joseph Gilmore and William Bradbury. This particular song has been arranged and performed especially for us by our own Alan Vest. Here is He Leadeth Me.
His own, and he lead us.
Friends, have a wonderful week ahead. Stay safe and pray for reason in our nation. Thanks for listening.